just as, without women, virtually every piece of furniture in the world would still be in its original position. Guys do not have a basic need to rearrange furniture, whereas a woman who could cheerfully use the same computer for 53 years will rearrange her furniture on almost a weekly basis, sometimes in the dead of night. She'll be sound asleep in bed, and suddenly at 2 a.m. she'll be awakened by the urgent thought, the blue-green sofa needs to go perpendicular to the wall instead of parallel, and it needs to go there right now. So she'll get up and move it, which of course necessitates moving other furniture, and soon she has rearranged her entire living room, shifting great, big, heavy pieces that ordinarily would require several burly men to lift, because there are few forces in nature more powerful than a woman who needs to rearrange furniture. I realize I'm making gender-based generalizations here, but my feeling is that if God did not want us to make gender-based generalizations, she would not have given us genders. 2. Guys like a really pointless challenge. Not long ago, I was sitting in my office at the Miami Herald Sunday magazine, Tropic, reading my fan mail, which usually consists of stuff like, "Who cuts your hair? Beavers?" when I heard several of my coworkers in the hallway talking about how fast they could run the 40-yard dash. These are guys in their 30s and 40s who work in journalism, where the most demanding physical requirement is the ability to digest vending machine food. In other words, these guys have absolutely no need to run the 40-yard dash. But one of them, Mike Wilson, was writing a story about a star high school football player who could run it in 4.38 seconds. Now, if Mike had written a story about, say, a star high school poet, none of my guy co-workers would have suddenly decided to find out how well they could write sonnets. But when Mike turned in his story, they became deeply concerned about how fast they could run the 40-yard dash. They were so concerned that the magazine editor, Tom Schroeder, decided that they should get out a stopwatch and go out to a nearby park and find out. Which they did, a bunch of guys taking off their shoes and running around barefoot in a public park on company time. This is what I heard them talking about out in the hall. I heard Tom, who was 38 years old, saying that his time in the 40 had been 5.75 seconds. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. These are middle-aged guys, supposedly adults, and they're out there bragging about their performance in this stupid, juvenile foot race. Finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. "Hey," I shouted, "I could beat 5.75 seconds. So we went out to the park and measured off 40 yards, and the guys told me that I had three chances to make my best time. On the first try, my time was 5.78 seconds, just 0.03 of a second slower than Tom's, even though, at 45, I was 7 years older than he. So I just knew I'd beat him on the second attempt if I ran really, really hard, which I did for a solid 10 yards, at which point my left hamstring muscle, which had not yet shifted into sprint mode from mail reading mode, went, and I quote, pop. I had to be helped off the field. I was in considerable pain, and I was obviously not going to be able to walk right for weeks. The other guys were very sympathetic, especially Tom, who took the time to call me at home, where I was sitting with an ice pack on my leg and 23 Advil in my bloodstream, so he could express his concern. "Just remember," he said, "you didn't beat my time." There are countless other examples of guys rising to meet pointless challenges. Virtually all sports fall into this category, as well as a large part of U.S. foreign policy. "I'll bet you can't capture Manuel Noriega." "Oh, yeah?" 3. Guys do not have a rigid and well-defined moral code. The basic human moral code was invented by women millions of years ago when all the guys were out engaging in some other activity, such as seeing who could burp the loudest. When they came back, there were certain rules that they were expected to follow unless they wanted to get into big trouble. And they've been trying to follow these rules ever since with extremely irregular results. Because guys have never internalized these rules. Guys are similar to my small auxiliary backup dog, Zippy, a guy dog who has been told numerous times that he is not supposed to, 1, get into the kitchen garbage, or 2, poop on the floor. He knows that these are the rules, but he has never really understood why, and sometimes he gets to thinking, sure, ordinarily I'm not supposed to get into the garbage, but obviously this rule is not meant to apply when there are certain extenuating circumstances, such as, 1, the humans just threw away some perfectly good 7-week-old Kung Pao chicken, and 2, they're not home. And so when I come home, the kitchen floor has been transformed into Garbage Fest USA, and Zippy, who usually comes rushing up to greet me, is off in a corner disguised in a wig and sunglasses, hoping to get into the federal bad dog relocation program before I discover the scene of the crime. When I yell at him, he frequently becomes so upset that he poops on the floor. Morally, most guys are just like Zippy, only taller and usually less hairy. Guys are aware of the rules of moral behavior, but they have trouble keeping these rules in the forefronts of their minds at certain times, especially the present. This is especially true in the area of faithfulness to one's mate. I realize